That's T-R-U-T-H, truthout.org. And it's an article on the 2004 election. Have a wonderful weekend. Please be safe, because we'd love to get back with you again. This is Bill O'Brien thanking you so much for listening.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Saudi police have broken up a plot to attack Saudi Arabia's oil fields, according to the country's interior ministry. They arrested 172 Islamic militants. The Pentagon announced today that a senior al-Qaeda operative was captured as he tried to return to Iraq, his native country. The suspect was taken to the U.S. prisoner detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. President Bush spoke at Camp David today about the Iraq War spending bill that Congress just passed, which contains a troop withdrawal start date of October 1st. He called it unacceptable and insisted he will veto it when it arrives next week. More than $90 billion of the $124 billion spending bill funds the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. President Bush met with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe today. Yesterday, the Japanese leader visited injured troops at Bethesda Naval Hospital and also paid his respects to the U.S. war dead at Arlington National Cemetery. Former CIA Chief George Tenet says Vice President Dick Cheney and others in the White House pushed the country into a war in Iraq without adequate or serious debate. His book will be published Monday. A senior White House counselor today called Tenet a true patriot but dismissed his claims. The eight Democratic presidential candidates took part in the first presidential debate for the 2008 race in South Carolina yesterday. Next week, the Republican candidates for president will debate in California at the Reagan Library. Pope Benedict will visit the United Nations headquarters and New York City soon. Although a date has not been announced for his trip, he plans to meet with the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. The House has passed a measure setting aside $600 million to provide educational help for college students training to be math or science teachers. The National Academy of Sciences has warned Congress that Americans are falling behind foreign competition in those fields. Film lobbyist Jack Valente died of complications from a recent stroke yesterday. He was 85 years old. He worked in politics and Hollywood. Valente had been in the presidential motorcade in Dallas when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in November 1963. Wildfires continue to burn in southeast Georgia for the 11th day. 700 firefighters are battling the blaze, which has burned 61,000 acres of land so far. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm George Lopez. In comedy, there are some things you can count on to get a smile. In healthcare, Shriners Hospitals for Children have a proud tradition of bringing smiles to kids with orthopedic burn and spinal cord problems. The Shriners offer world-class medical care to children absolutely without charge. At all 22 Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized pediatric services for one purpose, to improve the lives of children. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave, almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
The USDA says at least 6,000 hogs have been fed recalled poisonous pet food. Authorities are trying to determine whether the pigs have entered the human food supply yet. Farms in four states have been quarantined. A highly toxic naturally occurring algae is blooming in greater quantity and earlier than usual along the California coast this year. That is causing a record number of dead birds and mammals to wash ashore between San Francisco and San Diego. The FDA has voted against approving the new Merck drug Arcoxia, which was meant to be a successor to its arthritis drug Vioxx, which was recently withdrawn from the market because of its safety problems. According to a housing index by Standard & Poor's of the 20 major metropolitan areas, there are still some cities in the U.S. where the housing market is booming. In February, Seattle, Portland, and Dallas had an increase in housing prices from the previous month. The Commerce Department reports that in the first quarter of this year, economic growth slowed to a 1.3% rate. That is the weakest growth rate in 4 years. Economists say the housing market troubles are causing businesses to spend more cautiously. Light sweet crude is trading at $66.46 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow in record territory up 15 points at 13,120. The NASDAQ is up 3, the S&P 500 flat. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. You know, I never like to watch horror movies. Some of my friends like them. I don't really enjoy them. But my friends say that the reason they watch horror movies is because it gives a profound mix of both horror and amusement. And I will say to them, well, how can you have a mix of horror and amusement? I never understood that until I watched all 5 hours of Attorney General Gonzalez's testimony last Thursday. Now I understand how you can be simultaneously horrified and amused. Because some things were so bad that you just had to laugh. By now, of course, you know the controversy in which Attorney General Gonzalez is embroiled. He, of course, is in trouble because he has no idea what's going on in his department. He has no idea how 8 U.S. prosecutors were specifically chosen to be fired, despite the fact that their performance was by all accounts some of the best in the nation. And despite the fact that, the Justice Department itself said it was for performance reasons. And despite the fact that virtually every one of them was busy prosecuting Republicans for corruption or being complained about for not prosecuting Democrats for corruption. It's all one big coincidence. Well, with the Democratic Congress, we have oversight. Yay! It's very good. And with our oversight, what we do is we find out what's going on. And so we got to his deputy, Kyle Sampson, who promptly resigned thereafter, who told us that Kyle Sampson said, well, he didn't know where the recommendations came from. His deputy is Monica Gooding. She declared the Fifth Amendment. She said that if she told the Congress where these things came from, she could be liable for criminal prosecution. So she pled the Fifth. Well, I guess that's possible under the Hatch Act. You're not allowed to use politics to dictate the choices of who are the United States prosecutors. They can be hired for any reason, but what they can't be done is fired in order to influence a particular case. She pled the Fifth. And actually, the Democrats, I think, did a smart thing in the House. They said, all right, we're going to give you a waiver. We promise we won't put you in jail, Monica Gooding, but you got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Look forward to those hearings in May. And then there's Attorney General Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez. Now, Alberto Gonzalez, when he first was asked about these things, when he first was questioned about his role in this, well, he said the following. This is back just a month ago in early March.
Was not involved in seeing any memos, was not involved in any discussions about what was going on.
Okay, you got that? He was not involved in any memos, he was not involved in any discussions about what was going on. All right? Now, he came to change his view just a little bit later on in March. Let's listen to that.
Let me try to be more precise about my involvement. When I said on March 13th that I wasn't involved, what I meant was that I had not been involved, was not involved in the deliberations.
Oh, it's the deliberations. That's what he meant. Okay. So he wasn't involved in the deliberations. He wasn't involved at all. But at the end of the day, he comes out saying, you know what? I made the decision, and all these people were prosecuted, and it was done for good reason. Even though he has no idea why these people were chosen, and even though all of these people just coincidentally happen to be prosecuting Republicans, he has no idea why they're chosen, but it was all done for good reason. Well, to illustrate the inanity that is Attorney General Gonzalez, there's a nice montage put together by, The Daily Show. Let me play it for you. This is all, of course, testimony from the hearing last Thursday.
Whose idea was this?
Senator, I don't recall specifically.
I don't recall the content. Senator, I have no recollection.
I don't have any recollection.
I have searched my memory.
I don't recall remembering.
I can only testify as to what I recall.
Senator, I don't recall.
I don't recall.
I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred.
Got it? I don't recall. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have no recollection. I'm not sure about this. I firmly believe that nothing wrong occurred. Wow. It's really hard when you know nothing about a process to firmly believe nothing wrong occurred, but I guess that's the Kool-Aid they make you drink when you work for the Bush administration. Well, it wasn't just Democrats that gave him a hard time. I mean, I really want to recommend these 5 hours for everyone. You can go to C-SPAN, look up the attorney firings. I know that we're all busy people, but these are really 5 hours of horror, amusement, and really edification as to how the Bush administration works. So it's my high recommendation, even just to watch a little bit of it, get past the speeches and watch near the end as you watch Attorney General Gonzalez flounder. What's interesting is that it wasn't just the Democrats. In fact, every single Republican, with the possible exception of Orrin Hatch, who only said this was badly mismanaged, right? That's all he said. The rest he said was praise. Everyone else was much, much harsher on him. Even Republicans like conservative Senator Brownback of Kansas, the Christian rights support for him for president, I mean, this is the guy of the far religious right, was saying, okay, well, let's get the reasons out there. Why did you fire this guy? I don't know, Senator. Why did you fire this woman? I really don't know, Senator. And so Brownback is astonished. Well, then how do you know that it was right? Well, I have faith in the people who did it, sir. Well, who did it? I don't know, sir. I delegated it to Kyle Sampson, and Kyle Sampson delegated it to someone else. Listen to this exchange between Attorney General Gonzalez and Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is a conservative senator from Alabama, from probably one of the most conservative states in the United States. Listen to Jeff Sessions ask questions of Alberto Gonzalez.
Do you recall that meeting and where it took place?
My schedule shows a meeting for 9 o'clock on November 27th, but I have no recollection of that meeting.
This was not that long ago. This was in November of last year.
I don't recall the conversation. I don't recall whether or not I was present. I suspect I probably was.
Well, I guess I'm concerned about your recollection, really, because it's not that long ago.
So even the conservative Alabama senator is trying to understand why he can't even remember that a meeting that took place November 27th, you know, just 4 or 5 months ago, the crucial meeting where he decided to fire these prosecutors, the first time that this number of prosecutors have been fired, and really, that anyone can find in American history. I mean, at the beginning of each term, the president brings in a new slate. But in terms of the middle of a term, firing 8 prosecutors, this was unprecedented. Alberto Gonzalez cannot remember the meeting. So Senator Sessions asked him, well, what were you doing that day that you can't remember the meeting? And Gonzalez explains.
I went back and looked at my calendar for that week. I traveled to Mexico for the inauguration of the new president. We had National Meth Awareness Day.
So that's what it was. You know, there was a visit to Mexico,
and National Meth Awareness Day. And apparently both of those things were more important than remembering the firing of U.S. attorneys. Oh, we're going to talk about this all this to go after Gonzalez, and I'm looking forward to this show. If you want to call in, ask a question, make a comment, you're always welcome to do so. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. I hope to hear from you. We'll be right back after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing Attorney General Gonzalez's disastrous appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee. I have to say, I don't think Republicans thought he would do this bad. Actually, I don't even think Democrats thought he would do this bad. But Republicans seemed the most stunned. They were the ones walking out with their mouths open. I mean, take a look at Senator Arnold Specter. Now, Arnold Specter, prior to the hearing, said, I'm not going to say publicly whether or not I think he should resign. I mean, that's a step forward for Republicans who would generally say, you know, don't resign. He says, I'm not going to say before the hearing whether or not I think he should resign. listen to this question. Remember, this is a friendly senator. Listen to this question and answer between him and Alberto Gonzalez.
I had knowledge that there was a process going on.
Well, were you involved in it?
I was involved in the process, yes, sir.
Were you involved to a limited extent only?
Yes, sir.
In light of the fact that you had so little to do with the decisions and made so little effort to understand...
I had everything to do with the decision. It was my decision.
You don't recall the November 27 meeting where you made the decision?
Sir, I don't know that a decision was made at that meeting.
Well, how can you be sure you made the decision?
Senator, I recall making the decision for Miss. I recall making the decision.
When?
Sir, I don't recall when the decision was made.
Okay, that's also from The Daily Show. That's why the laughter's in the background. And I should mention that the last comment was answered by Pat Leahy. But you see the problem when you have Republicans that are coming out against him. Now, the president won't let mere facts get in the way. All right? Here's what the president said, again, courtesy of The Daily Show, what the president said about his confidence in Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez.
The Attorney General went up and gave a very candid assessment and answered every question he could possibly answer, honestly answer, in a way that increased my confidence in his ability to do the job.
It increased his confidence. That was good, Alberto Gonzalez. That increased his confidence. Well, what's interesting is when you have no less than the Dark Lord himself, Robert Novak, someone who is the president's toady, who is the Republicans, this is a guy owned by the Republican Party, lock, stock, and barrel. He wrote an editorial in today's Washington Post talking about Gonzalez's pathetic performance before the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is Bob Novak that talked about his pathetic performance. And here's what Bob Novak writes. Bush, never entranced with life in Washington, detests dealing with a Democratic Congress. Reflecting annoyance and fatigue, he's unwilling to withstand incessant attacks and is ready to fight it out for the over 20 months left in his term. Retaining Gonzalez, Novak writes, means Bush has slipped behind the barricades. Again, quoting from Novak, quote, all the Republicans in Congress whom I contacted view this as pure folly. He goes on to say that it's going to help the Democrats. And House GOP leader said, I cannot imagine how Bush thinks Gonzalez can function effectively with no Republican support. He goes on to say that no one respected Gonzalez from the beginning, from the first term, including Colin Powell, who wouldn't even talk with him. And there's a reason for that. Alberto Gonzalez doesn't think for himself. That's not his role. The president does not like people who think for themselves, with the exception of the twin guys in charge, Cheney and Rove. Other than those two, and I consider Rumsfeld a creature of Dick Cheney, other than those two, the president will not have independent thinking. Anyone who thinks independently will be kicked out. Bye-bye, Colin Powell. Bye-bye, Paul O'Neill. So he wants these toadies, people like Harriet Myers, people who will do whatever he says, and that's what Alberto Gonzalez is. Alberto, I need to torture some people. Yes, sir, Mr. President. Alberto, I need to ignore the Fourth Amendment and spy on 250 million Americans. Oh, no problem, Mr. President. Alberto, we need to put a bunch of Americans in jail without trial forever, without an attorney. Oh, okay. Yes, sir. We need to send people abroad to be tortured. Yes, sir, Mr. President. We need to hide people from the Red Cross in violation of Geneva Conventions. Oh, yes, sir, Mr. President. The Geneva Conventions, they're obsolete anyway. That's what he does. He is the presidential toady. So when it was astonishing and yet all too understandable. I mean, what could he say? What could he say? Prosecutors who just happened to be prosecuting Republicans, people like Carol Lamb, the highly, highly praised attorney, U.S. attorney in San Diego, California, the person who not only put away former Republican Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham, Mr. Bribery, but was getting into all his associates. And now there are indictments, it looks like, around the corner for Congressman John Doolittle of California and others. It's not just her, right? It's John McKay of Washington State, who decided there was no reason to challenge the governor's election, who happened to be a Democrat. Now, these are all Republicans, you understand. All these U.S. prosecutors are Republicans, which may be why the Republican Congress is so leery of supporting the president on this one. And then, of course, there's David Iglesias of New Mexico, who was called illegally by both Senator Pete Domenici, Republican of New Mexico, and Congresswoman Heather Wilson, Republican of New Mexico, against the ethics laws. They tried to influence the case. They tried to get him to prosecute a New Mexico Democrat. Now, they themselves are going to face ethical problems for this. And it's not just that. It just came out today that another corrupt Republican, and one thing that should be noted, these are not backbenchers. This is not like, you know, Traficant, who was a crazy, I guess, ex-Democrat that out of Ohio that was expelled from Congress a couple years ago. This is not a backbencher. These are the leaders of the Republican Party. This is the Republican Party that Tom DeLay built. Well, one of those leaders was Rick Renzi of Arizona. And now we find out, after the election, that guess what? Rick Renzi's staff was busy calling the U.S. prosecutor and trying to convince the U.S. prosecutor not to charge him with corruption. So you see, the election of 06, which was based on lots of things, it was based on Iraq, it was based on runaway spending and pork barrel, but it was also very much based on the corruption that is endemic to the Republican Party. Not just one or two, but every single person in charge, it seems, has their hand in the till. That election, the Republicans knew they were going to lose, so instead of trying to stop the corruption, they tried to stop the investigations into the corruption. And the amazing thing about Attorney General Gonzalez is when asked, how did these people's names get on the list, he has no earthly idea. I want to give you a feel for the hearings. Again, I recommend that you really take the time. You can play it while you're, you know, doing something else, doing your laundry or paying your bills. I really recommend you watch the whole 5 hours. But let me play for you a really revealing exchange. And I want to play for you the entire exchange because I think it shows – well, I think it just gives you a good idea because this, I thought this was a standard exchange, if you will. You have Senator Feinstein of California, a Democrat, but by no means a very liberal Democrat. I mean – Senator Boxer is a liberal Democrat. Feinstein is definitely a moderate Democrat. Frankly, she's to the right of some on the left who complain about her. But she's trying to get at the truth. She's trying to figure out what's going on here. And she asked a range of questions that, to me, typify the entire hearing. So this is 10 minutes long. I want to play for you. We're going to probably take a break in the middle of it. But I want to play it for you and get a feel for what it is these discussions are about. This is Senator Feinstein and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez.
Thank you, Senator Specter and Senator Feinstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I want to take you back once again, Mr. Attorney General. I may be very slow, but
no,
I don't understand how this list was compiled. The list was essentially 10% of the entire Attorney General staff. Kyle Sampson, your former chief of staff, I'm going to talk about the senior so-called leadership of the department, and the person you said you delegated this task to testified that he didn't put people on the list. He said, quote, it wasn't like that. It wasn't that I wanted names on the list. I was the aggregator. That's page 184 of his transcript. Mike Battle, director of the Executive Office of the United States Attorney, said, I had no input. Nobody asked me for my input. That's the interview, page 82. Bill Mercer, acting associate attorney general and number three at DOJ, said, I didn't understand there was a list. I didn't keep a list. It was just that any time I had a particular concern, I made that known to different people. And you testified this morning that you didn't know the reasons U.S. attorneys were put on the list until after you decided to fire them. I'm very interested, and I'd like to send down to you the plan, 3 pages, that was distributed at the meeting on November 27th, and ask you to take a look at it.
Thank you, Senator. Let me respond to a couple of things that you said. First of all, I haven't read the transcript from Mr. Battle.
Well, it's pretty accurate, and I gave you the pages so your staff can check it out.
Thank you. I don't know that I testified that I didn't know the reasons when I made the decision. I recall knowing reasons as to five, but not as I don't recall remembering the reasons as to two.
Okay, let's go on. If you could look at this, and I think this is one of the, this is a small thing, but apparently this three-page plan was distributed at that meeting. Do you recall seeing it?
Senator, I don't recall the meeting, and I don't recall seeing this document, but I have no reason to doubt that,
okay,
that this was a document.
Well,
that...
let me give you one point of, and this is just a minor point of irritation. Senator calls, and the Republican senators get calls. The Democratic senators, where U.S. attorneys are being fired, the political lead gets the call, whatever that is. I think, you know, it's senators that confirm. It's senators that should have the knowledge, not necessarily the political lead. And if you would go to step three on page two, it's entitled Prepare to Withstand Political Upheaval. And it goes on to say U.S. attorneys desiring to save their jobs likely will make efforts to preserve themselves in office. And then this is what people should say. And on the question of who decided, the talking point is the administration made the determination to seek the resignations, not any specific person at the White House or the Department of Justice. And to this time, we do not know who actually selected the people to be put on the list.
Senator,
I would like to know who selected the individuals that were on that list.
Senator,
somebody had to. A human being had to.
Senator, I'm not going to characterize Mr. Sampson's testimony. Let me tell you what I understood and what I expected was that Mr. Sampson would speak with the senior leadership in the department, people that knew about the performance of the United States attorneys, and that he would come to me with a recommendation, a consensus recommendation, including his views. That is what I understood. That's what I understood was coming to me because Mr. Sampson
was... Well, Mr. Sampson testified he didn't. He was just the aggregate.
No, and I'm not saying that... If that's what he testified, I'm sure that's his perception of his role. What I'm testifying today is what I viewed Mr. Sampson's role was to get information, but to present to me a recommendation that also included his own. And the reason that was important, not as important as others like the Deputy Attorney General, but Mr. Sampson had been involved at presidential personnel in filling senior leadership positions at the Department of Justice, the top legal positions at other agencies, and so he had experience
right,
in making personnel decisions.
I want to ask other questions, but perhaps you can understand that this has become a serious matter, and seven out of the eight were involved in public prosecutions, public corruption prosecutions, and yet nobody knows who selected them for this unusual thing to this very moment. Now, I'd like to go on with something else. From documents and interviews, we know the following. The White House was involved in the removal of Bud Cummings. Karl Rove called you and asked about three districts, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Albuquerque.
Sir, I don't recall whether he called or whether it was a visit. It may have been a call.
Okay. You got a call from the president about New Mexico in the fall of 06.
Senator, I think that was a conversation. I don't think it was a phone call.
Okay, conversation. Thank you. And Harriet Myers discussed whether to remove Deborah Yang from Los Angeles. Now, she resigned, so she was not part of this. But given all these inquiries that we know about, how could you say just 3 weeks ago that the White House did not play a role in adding or taking off names?
Well, Senator, the fact that there may have been a conversation with the president indicating a concern about election fraud in a particular issue, in my mind, I never would have equated that with the process, this review process that was ongoing with respect to that Mr. Sampson was coordinating.
Okay, but then now let's continue. This is why this is so strange. When Mr. McNulty came and briefed us in the Judiciary Room on the second floor, he mentioned the reasons were performance. And then we began to ask to see the EARS reports that Senator Kennedy referred to this morning. And I believe we've all taken a look at them, and we see stellar professional performance reports. We pick up USA Today, and we see a ranking that they did place 7 of them in the top 10 U.S. attorneys in the United States. And I have a very hard time with your telling me to this day you don't know who suggested that each of these 7 people on that December 7th list, nobody knows how they got there.
Well, Senator, first of all, I don't know the USA ranking. I don't know where that comes from and what it's based on. But Senator, the committee, I'm presuming, has interviewed the people involved in this process and can ask that question. I would like to know. I would like to ask that question. But as it respects to this investigation, I have not done so. The only thing that I can do today is to give you the information that I know. The truth as I recall it, and that's what I'm trying to do here today, is to tell you that I received the recommendation. What I presumed was that, most importantly, what I cared about, did this reflect the recommendation of the Deputy Attorney General? That would be the most important thing.
But if I were you, I would want to know who selected this individual and what was their thinking. Why did they put that individual on this list? Everybody knew from the plan that it was going to be heavy going, that there were going to be problems. It would just seem to me that you would want to know these things.
There are no
questions. When you talk about sort of an amorphous senior leadership, people think of gray-haired, very wise men making these decisions. In fact, they're very young and sometimes very ideological people.
Do
you want to know who's making the decision? Because when Mike Battle testified to the staff of what the response was when he called these U.S. attorneys, it was a shot out of the blue. It was a shot to the gut. They had thought they did very well. They had not been told there were problems. And they were called and they were told, you must leave.
Senator, I've already testified that clearly, as I look back on it now, the process would have been much more rigorous, and there would have been some discussion face to face with either myself or the Deputy Attorney General. You mentioned something that reminds me of the discussion back and forth between you and or not, involving you and Senator Schumer about Carol Lamb. I want to make sure that I'm clear about this, and that is, I believe based upon my review of the documents, that Ms. Lamb knew that there were concerns, or certainly there was an interest in her performance with respect to immigration prosecutions. I don't know whether or not Ms. Lamb knew that the Department of Justice had those specific concerns, or that if things didn't change, that she might lose her job. I wanted to make sure that you understand this.
Oh, but I understand this, but let me tell you, we all get concerns all the time. But if I were employed by Justice, I would be curious as to what my bosses think, not the flack that I may or may not be getting from other places, because the flack, to some extent, comes with the territory.
Senator, I expected that my concerns about her immigration numbers, prosecution numbers, and her gun prosecution numbers would be communicated to Ms. Lamb. That's what I understood.
But 2 months before she was fired, in a letter to me, Will Michella said everything was fine with her immigration numbers.
Senator, I believe...
She has told us she was never contacted by the department about immigration.
Senator,
my time is up.
Thank you.
Do you want to respond to that question?
That's fine, sir.
Certainly allow you to if you want to.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Hatch.
Well, thank you, Mr.
He didn't want to respond to that question. No, of course not. There's so many elements in that discussion, and I hope you listen carefully because I want to take them one by one. And if you have questions about it or comments, please feel free to call in. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON. First of all, there's the general lack of recalling. He can quibble over details over whether the president called him or whether the president saw him personally at a meeting, but he can't remember what was said. But it's more than that. The heart of the question into the politicization of U.S. prosecutors is, were they fired for political reasons? That's the question, because the president can hire and fire them as he wants, but what he can't do is hire them or fire them to influence an investigation. And every one of these guys or women, with the possible exception of one, was involved in some kind of political corruption case. So Senator Feinstein, she bores in. She says, someone had to make the decision. A human being had to make this list. Who was it? And he says, I don't know. And she says, well, if you don't know, how can you be so sure it was done right? He doesn't have an answer. She points out that he did talk to the president, that he did talk to Karl Rove, and how is it that this isn't a politicization of the process? He said, well, I didn't really consider those things. And then if you look at the emails, that's where you see the heart of it. That's where you see Kyle Sampson saying, we want loyal Bushies in here, right? It's all in the emails. The heart of the problem here is that you have people who are putting loyalty to the president, loyalty to the Republican Party, ahead of loyalty to their country. Now, Justice Department is a strange department. The Justice Department is in charge of prosecuting all federal laws. The Attorney General of the United States is the nation's top law enforcement officer. He's the police chief of police chiefs, if you will, the prosecutor of prosecutors. He's in charge. And his dedication, his role, is to defend the Constitution of the United States, even if he's appointed by the president. That's why it was a huge outcry back in the early 1970s during what was called the Saturday Night Massacre, when the Attorney General said, we're going to look into Watergate, and the president said no. He said, if you look into Watergate, I'll fire you. And the Attorney General said, hey, you know, Elliot Richardson was the guy, Republican, said, Mr. President, I respect you very much. I know you hired me. I know you have the right to fire me. But my first role is to the law in the United States. So Nixon fired him. The Deputy Attorney General became Acting Attorney General on a Saturday night. Nixon said, so I just fired your boss. Now you're going to stop looking into Watergate. And he said, no, sir. My obligation is to the law, not to you. And Richard Nixon fired him. Then came third in charge, Solicitor General Robert Bork. Name ring a bell? Same person that Ronald Reagan tried to put on the Supreme Court. And he said to Robert Bork, okay, I fired number one, I fired number two, you're number three. I insist that you not look into Watergate. And Robert Bork said, yes, sir, Mr. President, I follow you. The law and the Constitution of the United States be damned. My country means nothing to me. I follow you, Heil Nixon. Okay, that last two words may have been an addition on my part. But the point is this. When the Department of Justice is doing their job outside of politics, you can understand why the president should be in control. They're the ones who, you know, should dictate what things they prosecute and so forth. But when they're prosecuting the President of the United States, or when they're looking into Republican corruption, the President has to distance himself. That's why we had all those special prosecutor laws. That's why Ken Starr was hired and actually became a renegade, and other normal special prosecutors, Lawrence Walsh and so forth, because it's very hard for the President to prosecute himself. That's why we had Patrick Fitzgerald hired in the Traitorgate affair. So it's vitally important that this not be politicized. Attorney General Gonzalez has made statements understanding this basic fact. He said, quote, I would never, ever make a change in a United States attorney for political reasons, or if it would in any way jeopardize an ongoing serious investigation, I just would not do it. Wouldn't do it. But if he wouldn't do it, then how can he say it wasn't done when he has no idea what was done in the first place? I mean, again, I think John Stewart's compilation says it best, right? I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. It was all done appropriately. As we go to break, I want to play that just one more time.
Whose idea was this?
Senator, I don't recall specifically.
I don't recall the content. Senator, I have no recollection.
I don't have any recollection.
I have searched my memory.
I don't recall remembering.
I can only testify as to what I recall.
Senator, I don't recall.
I don't recall.
I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred.
I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred. Well, I'll tell you this. Here's what we know from the emails. We know that Karl Rove was intentionally watching the proceedings to make sure it was done right. And there's nothing Karl Rove does that isn't for political reasons. Toll-free number 877-4-HEAD-ON. Want to hear from you if you've got any questions about this or comments. 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. Right here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education is different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There's so much to talk about this. I still want to recommend for you that you go to C-SPAN and watch some of these hearings for yourself. You may not have understood in the exchange, the long exchange between Senator Feinstein of California and Attorney General Gonzalez, what she meant about the immigration numbers and the San Diego prosecutor, Carol Lamb. I want to explain that. Carol Lamb, of course, is the prosecutor who indicted and convicted, actually she got a plea bargain, but would have convicted a sitting congressman, Randy Duke Cunningham. This is the guy that actually had a list on his bribery list. Pay me this much and I'll do this for you. Pay me that much, I'll do this for you. Nice bargaining here. But she put him away. And so Gonzalez said that it had to do with her immigration numbers, that it had to do with the fact that she wasn't prosecuting immigration enough. And, of course, Carol Lamb was never told this by the Justice Department or by anybody else in the government, anyone that was her boss. Now, were there Republicans complaining? Yes, there were. And so Gonzalez, by using trick language and the passive voice, says, well, he's sure that Carol Lamb knew that people were complaining about immigration. But, of course, as Feinstein pointed out, people complain about everything. She had the right to know that it was from her boss. And so basically the only thing that Gonzalez admitted to doing wrong was to not explaining these things better, not explaining these things better to the prosecutors that were fired. But here's the thing. Not only were these all fired having to do with corruption cases, but they snuck in that provision in the Patriot Act, which Gonzalez says he didn't support and he has no idea how it got there. Although he has to admit that someone in his department snuck it in in fact, the senator himself, who I think it was Specter, took the language, didn't know what it meant, and the whole Senate passed it because that's how they do things, unfortunately, at least under the Republican Congress. They have to pass bills without reading it. So they snuck that language in, and what the language would do is basically say the president can appoint any U.S. prosecutor he wants without Senate confirmation. So that already looks suspicious. Then there's the testimony that Senator Whitehouse of Rhode Island brought out. And for all of you who wondered whether there was a difference between the liberal defeated Senator Lincoln Chafee, Republican of Rhode Island, and voting for a Democrat, it's not just that it gave the entire Senate to the Democrats, thank you very much, but it brought in a really good questioner. By the way, side point, it also shows to you the power of party. And why, even though Lincoln Chafee was a moderate Republican, a Democrat is much better. After all, it makes a difference. It's the reason we are having this. I mean, all of this would have gone on behind closed doors if we didn't have 51 Democratic senators, because Republicans believe in covering up the government's mistakes. They believe in protecting liars, protecting criminality, protecting the president at all costs. Because, simply put, they are not loyal to the United States of America. They are, yes, traitors. They care more about their party than they do about their country. And they complain about Democrats wanting to save people in the military's lives to coming home from Iraq. But I digress. Let's go back to Senator Whitehouse. He raised a very good point that in the Clinton administration, in order to protect from too much political influence, in order to protect the independence of U.S. prosecutors across the nation, Clinton limited it to three or four members of his administration, the president, the vice president, the attorney general, the deputy attorney general, could only speak to three or four members of the Justice Department and label them. I think actually maybe the Attorney General was down the lower caste. In any case, it was three or four could speak to three or four, and that was it. And all those communications were recorded, and that way people could know if there's any improper influences at the very top. Whitehouse pointed out that the number of officials in the administration who were allowed to dictate political policy to U.S. prosecutors was expanded from three to 417, and the number who could receive it from 3 to 33. So 9 communications became, do the math, 1,500 legal communications. It's all about plausible deniability, folks. It's all about not knowing who spoke to whom about what. And that way people at the top, like Deputy Attorney General McNulty, can say that the hiring in Arkansas was due entirely to performance reasons, even though we now know the truth that Karl Rove dictated the entire thing. Or as Bush put it, quote, "I've heard these allegations about political decision-making. It's just not true. What Al did, what the Justice Department did, was appropriate. U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. They can be removed by the president. What was mishandled was the explanation." You know, what was mishandled is your explanation right now. When will the president stop lying to us? What's interesting is that even Republicans are jumping ship. Virtually every Republican has jumped ship. It's not just Jay Leno, who said on his show that when Attorney General Gonzalez swore to tell the truth, quote, "everybody had a good laugh and went back to business," unquote. It's Arlen Specter, the senior Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, the guy who before the hearing said, "I'm not going to say whether he should resign or not," said, quote, "his testimony was very, very damaging to his own credibility." Sound like a perjury conviction, anybody? He blamed Gonzalez for a very substantial decrease in morale for the Justice Department. That's serious stuff. Specter said the other 93 U.S. Attorney Generals, U.S. attorneys don't know who's up next. There's a suspicion of improper motivation. It's been damaging to the administration. That's pretty strong words from the senior Republican Judiciary Committee. John Cornyn, Texas senator, a guy who always says yes, sir, to Bush, said it was really deplorable. Oklahoma Republican. Oklahoma, and it's hard to find a more rock-red Republican state than Oklahoma. Tom Coburn told him to resign. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And what it shows is that it's not just that the president doesn't care about Democrats. And it's not just that the president doesn't care about the American people. And it's not just that the president doesn't care about the law, the Constitution, or independence. He doesn't even give a damn about the people in his own party. He doesn't care what the Republicans say. It's all about loyalty. Heil Bush. It's all about Fredo, his friend, who wags his tail and does whatever Bush tells him to. Sit, Fredo, sit. Yes, sir. He's not the only one. Harriet Myers comes to mind, as does Mike Brown. This is the administration of toadies who do whatever the administration says. Well, I'm proud of the Democrats. They are fighting back, and they're fighting back strongly with the weapon of choice. No, I'm not talking about the Glock 17. Of course not. I'm talking about the subpoena and what a powerful weapon it is. Already, the House Judiciary Committee, which I used to have the pleasure of serving, voted 32-6. That's all Democrats and about half the Republicans, maybe more than half, to grant limited immunity from prosecution to Monica Gooding. Remember her? She was the deputy to the deputy to Gonzalez. Gonzalez hired Kyle Sampson to do the job. Sampson, who says, "I don't know where all this stuff came from," hired Gooding. They asked Gooding, and she said, "I can't tell you. If I do, I'll go to jail for breaking the law." So they're doing what they did to Ollie North and others. They're saying, "All right, we promise not to let you go to jail. Now tell us the truth." It's going to be interesting, folks. Going to be very interesting. And the Democrats are also issuing a subpoena to Condoleezza Rice. Now, she doesn't want to come. She doesn't want to talk and explain how those words about the lie about Saddam Hussein getting nuclear weapons out of Niger got in the President's State of the Union speech, despite the fact that everyone said it was a lie. She doesn't want to explain. But it's Henry Waxman of California, my former congressman in Los Angeles, and I worship the ground he walks on, said, quote, "A subpoena is not a request. It's a demand for information." Of course, the White House is willing to let her be interviewed as long as there's no transcript, no press, no oath. The Democrats said, no dice. And if Rice says no, You know what's next? It's called contempt. And Condoleezza Rice may just need to spend a little time in a congressional jail cell in order to force her to serve her country instead of her president. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Not about Condoleezza Rice, but about, for once, allowing the rule of law to prevail in the United States and open government for the greatest democracy in the world. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush spoke at Camp David today about the Iraq War spending bill that Congress just passed, which contains a troop withdrawal start date of October 1st. He called it unacceptable and insisted he will veto it. However, he added that he is confident lawmakers will find, quote, a way forward on the $124 billion funding bill. President Bush met with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe today. Yesterday, the Japanese leader visited injured troops at Bethesda Naval Hospital and also paid his respects to the U.S. war dead at Arlington National Cemetery. In a book to be published Monday, former CIA Chief George Tenet says Vice President Dick Cheney and others in the White House pushed the country into a war in Iraq without adequate or serious debate. A senior White House counselor today called Tenet a true patriot but dismissed his claims. Saudi police have broken up a plot to attack Saudi Arabia's oil fields, according to the country's interior ministry. They arrested 172 Islamic militants. The Pentagon announced today that a senior al-Qaeda operative was captured as he tried to return to Iraq, his native country. The suspect was taken to the U.S. prisoner detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The eight Democratic presidential candidates took part in the first presidential debate for the 2008 race in South Carolina yesterday. Next week, the Republican candidates for president will debate in California at the Reagan Library. Pope Benedict will visit the United Nations headquarters in New York City soon. Although a date has not been announced for his trip, he plans to meet with the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Film lobbyist Jack Valenti died of complications from a recent stroke yesterday. He was 85 years old. He worked as a White House aide in the Johnson administration. Later, he oversaw the Motion Picture Association of America. He was responsible for coming up with the film rating system. The House has passed a measure setting aside $600 million to provide educational help for college students training to be